So let's gather in that resistant light that the darkness cannot overcome as we listen to this amazing musician, Oliver Swain. I know he's been very busy up in Sheerness at a play that he's written all of the score of, and he's been up last night up in Nanaimo, and he's off around the whole island this summer, so we're very pleased he was able to fit us in. Welcome.
Good evening. I'm somewhat speechless by this beautiful presentation that's just happened here, and I would just like to say how privileged I feel to be here and to be working with everyone. From the moment when Gordon first contacted me, throughout the inspiring conversations I had with Sharon this week, and everyone who's helped be a part of this evening, this is one of those beautiful times that always inspire me to move forward with my own music. Of course, speaking of my music, singing the songs of Leonard Cohen is one of my favorite things to do. And I think it's very much rooted in how his music reaches into every aspect of our human condition and is there as a friend to us through all the personal, spiritual, identity challenges that we all face. And I hope that I can touch on every moment, every era, I should say, of his epic career and a few of his insights into our shared experience. I'm going to start out with one of the more obscure ones. There's so many songs in the Leonard Cohen canon that I think would be famous songs if they were one of the five or six known to other writers, but with Cohen, you get through the first 10 or 15 songs and you're like, but then there's like another 10 and 15, and then there's another 10 or 15 beyond that. This one was released in 1979, co-written with Phil Spector, and it's called True Love Leaves No Traces.
As the mist leaves no scar on that dark green hill, my body leaves no scar on you, never will. Through windows in the dark, children come, children go, like arrows with no targets, like shackles made of snow. True love leaves no traces. If you and I are one, and it's lost, it's lost in our embraces, just like stars against the sun. Ah-da-da-da. Ah-da-da-da. As a falling leaf, may he rest for a moment on the air. So your head upon my breast, so your hand upon my head. As many nights endure without a moon, without without a star. So may we endure when one is gone and is gone and no true love, it leaves no traces. If you and I are one, and it's lost in our embraces, just like stars against the sun. La da da da. As a falling leaf, may he rest a moment on the air.
Leonard Cohen once described the meaning of this next song this way. He says, it's about ring the bells that still can ring. He says, it's no excuse, the dismal situation or this bleak future. It's no excuse for an abdication of your own personal responsibilities towards yourself, towards your love, towards your job. Ring the bells that still can ring, says Cohen. They're few and far between, but if you work hard, you can find them. And then he says, forget your perfect offering. He says, like, this is not the place where we get perfection. There's just no way to get perfection. And worse than that, he says, there's a crack in everything. But that's where the light gets in. It's in the confrontation with the brokenness of things. What he didn't say was that this image comes straight out of the Kabbalah, the deepest well of Kabbalah, where the story is that God created vessels into which were poured holy light, but the vessels weren't strong enough to be able to hold this powerful force, and so they shattered, and down to earth came the sparks of divine light and also the broken shards. They put another way, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So, the birds, they sang at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Ah, the wars, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be caught again, bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free.
Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget about your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. It's how the light gets in. It's how the light gets in.
We asked for signs, and the signs were sent. The birth betrayed, the marriage spent. Yeah, the widowhood of every single government. Signs for all to see. I can't run no more with that lawless crowd, where the killers in high places say their prayers out loud. But they've summoned up a thundercloud, and they're going to hear from me.
Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget about your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. It's how the light gets in. It's how the light gets in.
You can add up the parts, but you won't have the sum. You can strike up the march on your little broken drum. Every heart to love will come, but like a refugee.
And ring the bells that still can ring. Oh, and forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. It's how the light gets in. How the light gets in.
I've been a Leonard Cohen fan ever since I heard him reading poetry at Queen's University back in 1964. You can figure out how old I am. And he read with Earl Burney and Margaret Atwood and Irving Layton, and I was too dumb at the time to know that here I was in the presence of Canadian literary royalty. I responded to Cohen's sensuality. He was very sensuous, and it was pretty risque for us back in those old days. But I also was very moved by his profound honesty in naming and questioning and calling out what was going on in the culture. It was, of course, the 60s. Cohen had absolutely no patience for superficial religiosity. Yet he never rejected the deep, deep wells of the spirituality of his Judaism, as Daniel mentioned. For Cohen, God is both present, but also mystifyingly silent, simply not there. He wasn't afraid to call out evil. He wasn't afraid to cry out in rage at the holy, like the ancient psalmists did. Did you know that the only people in Scripture who ever see the face of God are the ones who dare to get angry? Yeah, interesting little fact that you don't usually get told in Sunday school. Even as a practicing Buddhist monk, Cohen never stopped thinking of himself as a Jew, saying, "I'm not looking for a new religion. I'm quite happy with the old one." And as Daniel said, there was no conflict for him. He was ecumenical in his range of topics and references. His hit that we just sang, Suzanne, speaks about one of the most famous Jews, Jesus, saying he himself was broken long before the sky could open, and forsaken, almost human, sank beneath your wisdom like a stone. Cohen was the master of language, and he saturated his lyrics with biblical imagery and Jewish liturgy that he knew so intimately. Who by Fire, that we won't hear tonight, uses words that are word for word from the Rosh Hashanah prayer. Cohen commented in an interview, "I've never been able to disassociate the spiritual from practical." He says, "Poetry is a form of prayer, eliminating the boundaries between the spiritual and the practical, the religious and the secular, the sacred and the mundane." He takes a very humanistic approach to the predicaments of the presence and of the present time, and he speaks into love, into social and political collapse. Romantically, and he was a great lover apparently, according to, you know, Death of a Ladies' Man and all that, Cohen generally seems to see love as the desire to be fully alive, to find deeper meaning in the struggle, a desire which, even though he thinks is ultimately futile, is more important than anything else. And he says he never married because he wasn't courageous enough. Cohen was a man who did not hide from the dark. He didn't hide from the brokenness of this world, whether it was love or politics or the Holocaust. He demonstrated that same ability to show up to the darkness in his last album, which he gave to the world as an 82nd birthday present just months before he died. You Want It Darker, it was called, was released just in time for Rosh Hashanah and uses language from that liturgy and also from Kaddish, the prayer for the dead. And he cries out, "Hineni, Hineni," which he sings with the cantor and the choir of his childhood synagogue in Montreal. And that word means in Hebrew, "Here I am." It's the exact words that Moses responded at the burning bush. It's not some statement of comprehension or delight. Indeed, it's the growliest growl he's ever offered, and he offered some pretty growly growls. He looks into the darkness, yet in the face of that, he says, "Hineni, I'm ready." It's a profound acceptance of things as they are, especially poignant given that he knew he was dying. And maybe that's the power of his soul and of ours as well. To find ourselves in a world steeped in darkness, but stay awake to the reality and to our own reality. To read of unthinkable destruction and to experience our own, "I don't think I can make it through this," moments, and still say, "Here I am." When the world is busy numbing out and trying to forget or at least take the edge off, we can choose to stay awake, even and especially when that reality is painful. But it's not enough to just encounter the darkness. For Cohen, his mission was also to find the light, even if it was hard to find. And I think that's part of the power of Hallelujah that we're going to hear in a while. His Hallelujah is an explicit allusion to the Psalms and the reference of King David's secret chord and Samson and Delilah, these flawed ancestors of his faith and ours, if it's ours. It's a song that's been covered hundreds of times, some well and some pretty maudlin, and some musicians find it pretty cliché, but I think it's got more power than just being a cliché. It's a song that haunted Cohen. He reworked it many times, once saying he almost drove himself crazy sitting in his underwear in the New York hotel writing 80 verses. Love to have seen that. In writing Hallelujah, Cohen himself said he chose that word because it means so many things in so many ways. Religiously, it means glory to God or praise to God, but in a more vernacular way, it just means life is amazing. Life is yes. It's a word of awe, of inspiration, of gratitude and praise. And even in some of the hallelujahs, there's almost a sarcastic side to it. And it's not just a filler word to hold the song together. It's really the core word, the thread of the whole song. In describing his inspiration for creating Hallelujah, Cohen said, "I wanted to stand with those who clearly see God's holy broken world for what it is and still have the courage and heart to praise it." Isn't that profound? I want to stand with those who clearly see God's broken world for what it is and still find the courage or the heart to praise it. We don't just show up to the darkness. We find reason to hope and praise. As he said in Anthem, which we just did, ring the bells that still can ring, even if they're hard to find. Forget your perfect offering, because you're not going to get it right. There's a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. So let's let some more light in, Oliver.
Doesn't get much brighter than that. There's many, many wonderful versions of this next tune I'm gonna do. Joe Cocker has a great one. Nina Simone. You ain't never heard a version like this one. Like a bird on a wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I've tried in my way to be free. Like a worm on a hook, like a knife bent down in some old-fashioned book, it was the shape of our love that twisted me. If I have been unkind, I hope that you would just let it go by. And if I have been untrue, I hope you know it was never to you. Like a baby stillborn, like a beast with his horn, I have torn everyone who reached out for me. I swear by this song and by all I have done wrong, I will make it all up to thee. I saw a beggar leaning on his wooden crutch. Said to me, "You must not ask for so much." And a pretty woman leaning on her darkened door, she cried to me, "Hey, why not ask for just a little bit more?" Like a bird on a wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir,
I have tried in my way to be free. My hands, your small breasts are the upturned bellies of breathing fallen sparrows. And everywhere you move, I hear the sound of closing wings and falling wings, and I'm speechless. Because you have fallen beside me, because your eyelashes are the spines of tiny, fragile animals. And I dread the time when your mouth begins to call me hunter. When you call me close to tell me your body is not beautiful. I want to summon the mouths and the eyes of stone and earth and water to testify against you. And I want them to surrender before you and the trembling rhyme of your face from their deep caskets. And when you call me close to tell me your body is not beautiful, I want my body and my hands to be pools for your looking and laughing.
Thank you.